Value-based healthcare has been around for more than 20 years, but most providers aren't yet reaping extensive rewards from this model. That's because both providers and payers need to tame vast growing data volumes and develop interoperable processes before embracing risk-based incentives. For payers, one of the most important places to start is with provider data. Payers rely on provider data to fuel business processes, from marketing and onboarding to servicing and claims management. Yet this data changes constantly. Resisting traditional strategies such as aggregating data in a central repository and tightly controlling processes. In this expert conversation, Hitachi Solutions and Microsoft healthcare leaders explore how payers can tackle and solve provider data challenges and build towards value-based outcomes. The conversation features Leah Bowling, General Manager, Insurance and Healthcare from Hitachi Solutions, and Sam Robinson, Chief Health Plan Officer, Healthcare and Life Sciences, also with Microsoft. Thanks so much for being here. Leah and Sam, please take a moment to introduce yourselves and share why the healthcare industry is so important to you.
Thank you, Saul. It's a lot of fun to be here and have these open conversations. So value-based care is personal to me because I was diagnosed with a chronic disease at the age of 21. And as my life has evolved and the treatments have evolved, I've seen the benefits of when providers, when my specific physicians are able to look at the body of treatment options available and not have to go with, you know, the lowest cost or the most effective utilization in the short term that might not have the long-term benefits for my particular disease state. My doctor likes to say he's got a cocktail of different things that he can do and that he can offer. And his ability to pick and choose those things really based on the long-term outcomes is important to me. As a disease sufferer, I appreciate that, that we allow our providers and support our providers in their endeavors to truly make patients better. And so this particular topic hits home for me. It's really personal. And I've seen how the market has evolved over the last 10 or 15 years, being up close and personal to how those outcomes have shifted and how we are trying to manage the risk better and ultimately make the patients healthier.
Excellent, Leah. Sam, how about yourself?
Thanks, Saul. I have a long history in healthcare, starting with a parent that was a medical records director. You folks on the phone that are, well, younger than me might not remember that it was all paper and it was all about getting paid and getting the paper right and shuffled around in a hospital before the advent of EMRs. That led me into a career where I first helped in the long-term care industry, either working for access for patients. And I learned a lot about how reimbursement and the patient outcomes were intricately linked. That led me to working for an EMR company for years. And I really felt like I wasn't making as big of an impact as I could if I worked for something like Microsoft, where I could affect standards across the industry. So as Microsoft developed and rolled out things in Windows and Internet Explorer and other, and now in our Azure cloud, it gives me the opportunity to turn those standards into ways of access and data access that can really help the industry in general. That naturally led me into the payer side of the house, so jumped over about 15 years ago. And where I realized is reimbursement has a bigger effect on care than any of us would like, frankly. But it also has the ability to do good. And as we look at this very important subject of value-based care, anything that's tying outcomes and having us all swim in the same direction, every physician I know, every physician that's treating myself, my family, has always been top-notch and really a savior to our family. And to get them doing the right things and getting paid for what they're doing and caring for patients, I think is the direction that all of us want to go. I try to affect it from the reimbursement side of the house. And in the end of the day, I think that that's what drives me and keeps me going. How can I make the ecosystem work better?
Okay, excellent. So value-based healthcare is now midway through its second decade. Where are most customers at on the maturity curve for value-based healthcare?
So I'll go ahead and take that question, Saul. The interesting thing is that we see some statistics or some surveys coming out from groups like the American Academy of Family Physicians stating that from their surveys and from their perspective, just in the last 2 years, from 2020 to 2022, we went from 30% of physicians reporting that they're participating in some sort of value-based care up to 50% in 2022. That shows a significant growth curve. But I think the interesting thing is that we all don't necessarily have the same definition. As you stated, you know, we're through the second decade. And so I'm gonna ask Sam to chime in a little bit here on really, if you look at the definition of value-based care, a lot of physicians, more than they even realize, have been participating in that kind of model for even longer than they've realized. And I think that we've had an emphasis on that for a lot longer than the survey might reveal. Sam, do you want to chime in on your perspective or your definition of value-based care?
Yeah, thanks, Leah. This is where I always hope that when all of you go home and say value-based care, which I'm sure you did over Thanksgiving, which recently passed and might do over the next holidays, depending on when you're listening to this, I'm sure you're the number one subject is value-based care. At least it is around my tables at the holidays. And when we talk about value-based care, I'm always interested in the consumer view of it. So the consumer's view is, oh, they're going to only get paid if my hip works or if this works or if I came out of the hospital and got healthier and or didn't go in the hospital. And it really mixes up a lot. So if we start with the definition of value-based care, what is it? It's paying for outcomes. Now, how do I pay for outcomes? Lots of different ways. Going all the way back to prospective payment and DRGs, we've paid for outcomes for years. In a DRG-based world, right, you don't get paid beyond the guardrails that are put up for that DRG. Now, as you move forward, we talk about, oh, value-based care is coming. I would argue that 80 or 90% of payments are tied to some outcome or some value-based care. And in fact, if you talk to providers, they might tell you, 80% of my paycheck is coming from value-based care. What they really mean is that above the fee-for-service, above for that claim, I poke, you pay kind of claim. When you go above that, I might incent you to do the right things. Hey, if you also draw blood and do a test, then I'll pay you more. That's value-based care. All the way up to including what we know as the accountable care organizations, which is really what people think it is, right? Hey, I'm going to give you some money. You do everything that I'll pick on Saul that Saul needs, and you're going to keep him healthy. And the healthier Saul is, the more money you make and you stay in business and everybody's hunky-dory. There is a whole range behind that. And when we look at that upper end where it's just you take care of Saul and make sure he's happy and healthy, that's literally less than 5% of the market. And most of those rely on claim data to figure out what's happening. So even as we get into more and more value-based care, I pay you more if you do the right things. I pay you more if you help me take care of the patients better outside of your realm. Any of those arrangements that we talk about, those all relate to basically a claim-based accounting system. So the claim still becomes the atomic unit of how we measure and monitor these things, Leah. So it's a little misleading when we say value-based care because it's such a broad range of payment mechanisms. But if we just keep in mind, what we want is better outcomes for the patient, for the member. And if that's being driven, we're going to pay more for it, which we all would agree. As consumers, we all say, yes, absolutely. I want to be able to walk on my hip the next day. And if you can do that, I'll give you a lot more money, right? So as we look at this going forward, I think if we use that definition for this conversation, Leah, it might help us focus in on all the great work that's happening and, frankly, how to prioritize your data streams and data needs to do that. Back to you, Leah.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Sam, because I do think that as providers look at maybe what the market definition is of value-based care, they can get overwhelmed and it can feel intimidating. And they might respond to a survey and say, "Ooh, I don't know, I'm not getting paid for whole person, you know, healthcare." But if we kind of train and kind of have a common definition that says, "Well, wait a minute, Mr. Provider, we're just looking for healthier patients and better outcomes, and wherever you're bonused or incentivized for those things, that counts. That's part of this conversation." I do think it's one, less intimidating, two, feels less overwhelming, and three, to your point, would reflect that the market is a lot more saturated with this model than we believe. We've got some more work to do, but I do think that it's a lot more prevalent than maybe what some of the surveys might suggest. That makes it look like a much more dire situation, even though we are in our second decade of it. I think it's a much more positive outlook than maybe what the brass tacks of a survey result might examine for us.
So with all that said, and that's great, why are some further ahead than others? What have they done differently?
Well, Leah, let me start this answer. So the differences really comes down to prioritization, and it comes down to how do we decide as a provider on the provider side of the house that enough of my revenue is coming from this source that I have to pay attention to it. Every provider I've met, I think I say that in the intro, wants to provide the highest quality service. I want to start out with that. But they are constrained or liberated, depending on your viewpoint, by the payment systems that are coming in. So as health systems have seen the value in various types of value-based claims, bundled payment, coming up into, pay-for-performance type activities, or even some of them launching their own accountable care organizations or health plans in and of themselves to take on more risk, that is really dependent on a couple of factors. One, do they have enough of their revenue coming through those channels to dedicate personnel to it? It's all a matter of resources. So if I can't dedicate a resource to getting to this problem, monitoring it, making sure the measurements that are being asked for are reported correctly. And lastly, we keep coming back to this. Do I have the data to support it? And do I have people wrangling that data to get it into a form and to get it to the right bodies in order to qualify for those bonuses? The easiest example for folks is in Medicare Advantage, right? If I'm a payer doing Medicare Advantage, I'm going to pay a lot of attention to measures, quality measures, the HEDIS quality measures, because I want those bonus payments. But that takes a lot of my personnel to do that. I have whole departments to do that. On the provider side of the house, they typically do not have folks that are tracking those payments, especially because we can come up with 10 different contracts for one individual payer that they have to monitor. So it takes a lot of resources to do this and a lot of resources to make sure you're doing it right, meaning you're getting credit for what you're doing out there in the marketplace. So it's really a matter of a combination of two things, putting more resources, prioritizing more resources, and some of those resources are in wrangling data only and making sure you're reporting everything you can. Leah, I know you had some thoughts on that data wrangling. Do you want to jump in and tell us what you found out there in the real world? I sit in the tower where I just tell people, but you have to live it every day. So maybe you can...
I do. You're right. I like your tower, Sam, and I like the advice that comes from your tower. So I'm okay with that. No, you're absolutely right, Sam. I mean, as we talk to the healthcare organizations around value-based care, I think you hit the nail on the head. All providers want to make their patients better. That's why they go to med school. They have a passion for improving outcomes and making them healthier and making them happier. And I largely think that the insurance companies have the exact same goal in mind. But when it comes down to, we only have so many hours in the day and so many resources to go and prioritize different things. And this particular market is really under scrutiny right now for modernizing all of their infrastructure, all of their reporting, all of their access to patient data and portals and all the things that they're getting pressure from the market in order to modernize, it becomes prioritization. And so I think that we don't take it lightly that we understand and appreciate that they absolutely want to accomplish this, and that if this is truly the mechanism by which we make patients healthier, that is what we want to do. But that next layer down, the data itself is where the complexity lies, and it takes a lot of individuals and a lot of everyone rowing in the same direction and understanding and wrangling. And there's luckily a lot of modern tools that you can apply to this. And that's really where we come in. Hitachi leverages those tools in order to help organizations wrangle that data and make it as automated as possible so that we are taking the human element out of it, because we recognize they've got other things that are taking their attention, and where they really want to spend their time is in the clinical area. They want to spend more time with patients. So the more that we can do to kind of untether them from the complexity of the data that they're trying to monitor with modern tools that Microsoft uniquely has, tools like Dataverse. We do a lot better serving our customer and help them achieve these goals.
I love that, Leah, when you say automate, right? It's a big term. We've seen a lot of remote process automation, RPA, and other things. We talk a lot about data wrangling and automated data wrangling. And, you know, I know it's very basic and infrastructure, but if there's one thing you can do that we find that Microsoft and Hitachi specifically can do for our clients is simplify that process, right? Think about the workforce burnout even issue that we're dealing with, right? No one wants to wrangle data. Well, there might be somebody, but they have a very different Thanksgiving table than we do, right? We talk exciting stuff like value-based care. They talk about cleaning data. So see, our discussions get more interesting. So as we look at that process, right, how do we keep people in the workforce happy with what they do? They want to make a difference. They want to be the one analyzing the data or making sure that it's flowing correctly and that they're doing advanced analytics on that data to find new ways to help patients, help members, or save their company money and increase profitability. So if you're paid to be an analyst, boy, it's really frustrating when you spend 3 weeks just wrangling the data so then you can finally look at the answer, right? So you want to make somebody's work better, their work life better, and want to help them fulfill the mission of the company and their mission coming into work. Automate as much as you can of anything that can go computer to computer. I'll go one further. We used to say when it dropped to paper, that was bad, but I'll go one further. Even when it comes to my own product, Microsoft Excel, that's now the new paper. If you have Excel in the middle, we want to remove it and get that data to flow directly where it needs to be and where it can be analyzed.
Sounds good. So Leah, let's dig a little more into that data side of things. Basic provider data and provider engagement sits at the center of value-based care. What are the greatest challenges payers are facing with data, and why is provider data the place to start?
So I think that the engagement piece is really key here. This is a new way of doing business or a new way of transacting with these providers, or an emphasis on a way we've been doing it all along and we want to kind of amp that up. So we really need to have a better relationship with our providers to work through this with them, and really starting with the foundation of the basic profile demographic information and making sure that that is sound and complete, which sounds simple, but when you deal with, you know, rosters that update every month coming from these hospital organizations and doctors that report to multiple different sites. I work at a private clinic and then I work at the hospital. Maybe I have another day of the week that I'm doing some other services. You start to see how it's inherently complex. And then you layer in that we really need to have better relations with them in order to support them in this effort, in this endeavor. That core data becomes immensely important. And then you want to layer on top activity data. When was the last time we discussed something with them? Do they consistently have issues filing claims? Are they consistently getting things kicked out? Are we communicating effectively with them what our goals and strategies are? Or are they frustrated by our contracting process? I think really being on the same team with the providers is hugely important as we go and tackle this. And so the data itself is really the first place to start. That core foundational data, layering in the activity data, the more soft data around our relationship strength, and do we feel like we've got open lines of communication? And then assessing and looking at all of the various tools that we might be interacting with. And I think another Microsoft colleague of ours said it well, it's a potpourri of tools that they have that are managing this data. The contracting data sits in a contracting system. The profile data sits in a profiling system. The claims data is coming from that system. And that's another area that makes it inherently complex. So I do believe that, you know, coming up with that foundation and understanding our providers at a base level, then leveling up and understanding them at a relational level and making our relationships more solid and filling the gaps there so that they feel like this is a true partnership is absolutely the way to really have an effective value-based care strategy shoulder to shoulder with those providers. So for the payers to really dig in and wrangle all of this and really feel like they're on the same team and they're in it to win it together, I think is immensely important.
So Leah, I love what you said about partnership. It absolutely is always a partnership. what the providers are the hands and eyes and ears for the payers in delivering quality and care. So when we talk about how to do that partnership, what can we do? Well, to your point, we can automate the data better. We can do more about giving them visibility into what they're doing and build that partnership based on data and based on service and helping them do what we need them to do to deliver quality with the least amount of administrative burden possible. In addition, there's a lot more we can do to help our providers integrate into their systems the value and quality metrics that we're desiring for both of us to have a healthy membership base. Add to that, going all the way to truly full risk-based value arrangements, very often we see the providers looking for a back end that the payers can provide services like data aggregation, data wrangling, everything that you mentioned before. So absolutely anything we can do as a payer organization to improve our provider relationships and improve those partnerships is better for all and really better for the member in the end of the day.
Great. Sam, you talked a little bit about visibility there. What will greater visibility and insights enable payers to achieve?
Well, thanks, Saul. Everything, frankly. You don't change what you don't measure, and you don't measure if you don't have insights into the data. So as we look at what basic steps can be taken to really improve value-based care and improve the penetration and better outcomes for the patient, it really is visibility even to things that aren't available today. As we look moving forward, we have things like the price transparency legislation. That's going to provide even greater clarity to what is happening and what the pricing is. Believe it or not, no one on either side of this equation, the payer or provider, knows what it costs for an individual service because it varies by contract and you might have multiple contracts. And on the other side of it, you don't keep track of it that way. So no one really knows how to look at this. And with these new data sources, along with the FHIR data coming into play, especially with the G10 EHR requirements, there's going to be a lot more sharing. But that's going to turn into a lot more confusion in the short term. Long term, you've got to wrangle that data, get it into a meaningful form, and give insights, right? I can give you a ton of data, but if I can tell you the answer is, you are missing your quality mark because of this procedure across this space, then that's something that's actionable and something you can do something about. So providing those insights and a way to get them into action, somebody changing their practice patterns, is really what the providers need to improve their partnerships and to make sense of this even more blossoming set of data sets. When we talk about FHIR, we talk about more quality data, more clinical data being exchanged, is going to be making sense, heads or tails, making sense out of that data and providing actionable insights that's going to change the world for both providers and payers, not to mention the patients and members they serve.
What do payers need to do to prepare their data for value-based care model and then share it with partners?
So that's a great question, and it's a simple one to answer, but a difficult one to execute. We always want to start with landing on a common provider data model, and we think that's immensely important for our customers to agree on what does the provider data model, what are the elements of the provider that we want to track in order to accomplish our goals, and always start with the goal in mind. That is the number one starting point in order for them to prepare, and we really do feel like the organization should own it themselves. That's something that the company should invest time and energy into and should take ownership over how their data model plays out. The other really great news is there is a lot of tools that Microsoft provides specifically to enable this. And this is unique to Microsoft. There are a lot of other great technology solutions, but Microsoft has a data service called Dataverse that essentially allows you to set up your ideal data model for any particular business unit or department or any reason that you want to. We call it the data chassis or intelligent data service. And it is a tool that we've used in order to help our customers establish that provider data model that is really the foundation of them going and then getting and integrating with all of the data sources that they need to. And that is something that we feel Microsoft can provide as a value add and as a service uniquely in the market.
Leah and Sam, this was a great conversation, very informative. As we wind down, give me your closing thoughts and that one big thing we want our listeners to take away from this. Sam, let's start with you.
Thanks, Saul. When I look at value-based care arrangements, I'll go to what you asked earlier. Providing any sort of automation and making sense of the data and providing insights that are actionable for everyone in the chain, payer, provider, members, patients, all of them have the need for greater insights and actionable data. But start small. Think simple. We have the claim data. We have a lot we can do today. And think about how to present it and how to make it actionable. And then as you layer on the other complexities that we talked about in this podcast, like fire data, like the G10 data, et cetera, think about how you can make those channels that you open, those insights, better for everyone involved. And again, insights in and of itself, just visibility, can change a lot within the marketplace. Leah?
Yeah, I think Sam's absolutely right. And when he says start small, guys, we're talking about things like eliminate duplicate entry. You can use RPA solutions to do that. That might seem like very low hanging fruit or not that interesting or fun of a project. But, you know, previously we talked about some of the fatigue that the individuals in this market are facing and some of that burnout. And just imagine if none of them ever had to double entry or double key anything ever again. These are the small things that when you look at focusing on the data, focusing on the smaller things that would allow you to get the data where it needs to be to get to those insights. It really can be simple, small solutions that can have a huge impact, because at the end of the day, it's going to lead you to the proper insights in order to stand up these kinds of interactions between payers and providers.
Excellent. Well, thank you both again so much.
As you think about your journey towards value-based care, a great place to start is by workshopping with Hitachi Solutions to uncover your provider data challenges. This will help you crystallize around high-value use cases and understand how Hitachi Solutions and Microsoft technology empower businesses to work more efficiently while freeing your organization from technical debt and process rigidity. You'll gain a clear action plan, including prioritized use cases, expected business and technology gains, and a roadmap for achieving value-based outcomes. Learn more at HitachiSolutions.com.